Hello guys, welcome into another Nuggets Europe presented by NBA 2K. We are fortunate enough to be joined today by Joe Holbrook. Joe is in the UK, NBA UK community, an absolute hoop head, a really, really good writer and a great follow. So I'll make sure Joe drops his tag so you can all give him a follow after. He has some really great content on there. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. Absolute pleasure.
And we've got loads to talk about today. And every time I seem to hear any of you, you know, when you're on a podcast or on the NBA UK stuff, I think it's great to pick your brains. I think you've got a fantastic basketball brain. And I know myself personally, I've learned a lot about the game and about the, you know, the real intricate parts of the game through your writing. So let's kick off. Nuggets, bit of a lackluster start. As you know, we were expecting a lot more, should we say, at this point in the season. 18-15, just in general so far this season. Tell us what you've seen.
It's been a weird season, honestly, across the league. I think there's teams that have underachieved. I think the teams that underachieve have underachieved so far are the teams who do things a little bit differently. So Denver and Miami are the ones I look at from each conference, obviously. You know, the defensive schemes, the type of players they've got, you know, Jokic and Bam, similar in the ways they operate. They're not your typical big men. I think that's obviously been a big part of it. Denver's defense was also pretty brutal early on. I think a lot of that was personnel changes. Gary Harris has, I believe, missed a fair amount of time this season. And he's, if I had votes last year, I would have voted him to the All-NBA defensive team. So there's been factors. Other teams have also suffered injuries, as you mentioned before we came on. But I think with Denver to lose Gary Harris, even though it's, you know, it's not been the whole season, when you have roster turnover and one of your injuries is someone who plays that many minutes and is one of the returning pieces, that has a big effect. But I think the rest of it, honestly, not to give a cop-out answer, it has just been a weird season. You know, it's just like I'm looking across the league and, you know, my Timberwolves are 7-26, 7-27 now, which isn't what I expected. But there's teams, you know, you've got the Knicks who are 500 for the first time. Yeah. I think without fans, you know, things just go out of the window because players aren't, you know, 3-point percentages are a lot higher. Just the whole game is different. So I expect things to revert back to sort of the norm next year, which obviously, hopefully for Denver, will mean they're back at the upper echelon, which I do expect them to be with the way some of their guys are playing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's just been such a bizarre season. And obviously, you know, players are used to shooting in the gym with no one around. And when you've got no one around shooting 3-point percentage, I think that's a great point that you bring up. So obviously you cover quite a lot of different teams around the league. I know you've been keeping a keen eye on our beloved Nuggets. I wanted to start off with our king, Mr. Jokic, and just what you've thought of his season so far. Obviously, he's having a, you know, a phenomenal season, even by his own standards. Tell us what you think of Jokic's season so far.
He's taken up a level for me. The number one reason is he looks more mobile. Now, I don't know about the conditioning that's gone into that or, you know, whether it's just him being more aggressive, but he seems and appears quicker. He's getting quicker closeouts, I think. I can't remember if it was you or one of the other Nuggets accounts, but when we did an Instagram Live, I can't remember. Again, I don't remember which Nuggets UK guy it was, but he was saying sort of Jokic was passive at times, and I kind of agreed with that. But I think part of that is because he didn't have the mobility to compromise defenses for 48 minutes. Obviously, he's a great passer, but passing becomes easier the better the scorer you are. That mobility, he's getting harder closeouts, and it's allowing them to run more actions through him, which is quite scary because for me, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, along with the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets have ran the best X's and O's in the league in terms of keeping teams off balance, being unpredictable, putting guys in positions where they succeed. They've been the best, the absolute best of the best, which is why I watch them, because you learn a lot from watching the Denver Nuggets. So that's what it's been for me. It's the mobility. That helps on the defensive end, but I think you've seen it more applied on the offensive end. For me, he's comfortably been the best player in the NBA this season. Just the level he's playing at, what he's able to do. There's no one who can even get close to stopping him. I'd probably put Bam as your best bet just because he's got the footwork to kind of mirror what Jokic does, but no one else has a chance in hell.
Yeah, Bam's one of those players I always find, you know, come up against Miami Heat and it's always a struggle. I'll tell you what, Clint Capella's another one of those ones. I don't know what it is, but he just seems to always cause Jokic trouble whenever we play either the Rockets last year or the Hawks this year. So having spoken about Jokic, the other thing I wanted to ask you, obviously he's having an outstanding season, and other than the obvious where the Nuggets are currently seeded, which is what seems to be the only argument against him in this MVP season, MVP caliber season, should I say. What do you think are the chips that need to fall other than that for him to be kind of, is that the only thing that's kind of stopping him from achieving that MVP crown?
Yeah, and for me, you know, it's ridiculous because winning is a team stat. You know, for me, it's, if we're going to do MVP award like that, which is the way it is done, they need to change the name of it to like the best player on the best team award or something, because right now Jokic is clearly, forget just the best big man, he's the most impactful player probably in the league right now. The argument for Embiid would obviously be that he's dominant on the defensive end, but I would also say that Embiid is surrounded by some all NBA defensive talent in the way that I don't think Jokic is, certainly not when Gary Harris isn't playing. You know, they got Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle. So I think the narrative surrounding the MVP date are kind of tiring to me, but I think it really is just team wins, because the way he's playing, you know, the hardest thing to do in terms of building a team is turn a good team into a great team. And on the player perspective, to go from a great player to an even greater player is very difficult, because, you know, the things you can add, you're obviously already very good, so there's only one or two things you can improve on. And for him, it's been that mobility, that burst, that handle that's just opened up the floor, not just for him, but for his teammates as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I think moving on now to number two, the Robin to our Batman, if you will, Mr. Jamal Murray. Seemingly, we've been desperate since we drafted him. But Jamal Murray, we've always known the potential that he's got. Obviously, he showed us what he showed us in the bubble. But it's always been amongst Nuggets fans, the consistency, the level of consistency with Jamal Murray. It's just, we're always striving to say, okay, we know what you can do, but let's go out there and show us you can do that on a consistent basis. Over the past 6-7 games, we seem to have kind of hopefully found that consistency. What have you seen from Jamal Murray so far this season to begin, in the first half of the season, should I say?
Yeah, I went on a pod about 3 weeks ago and we were talking about disappointments of the season. I didn't name Jamal Murray, but someone else did. And I kind of said that when I was watching him this season, I always came away wanting more from him. Not just because of what we saw in the bubble, because the bubble was a freak event. You know, TJ Warren was dropping 35 a night in the bubble. You can't really go on to that. But I've always felt that he can be more than he is. Now, I think some of that is that Michael Malone likes to run a lot of ball handlers. So they got Will Barton, Monte Morris. They've not so much anymore because he's declining a bit, but Paul Millsap also used to run a little bit of the offense too. So that's always what's made Denver great. They're not built to give a guard a sort of Trae Young, James Harden level role. But I've still always felt that Jamal Murray just needs to be more aggressive. He's not naturally a fast player who's going to get to the rim at ease, but his finishing numbers have been very good in the last couple of games. That's really been the difference. He's not necessarily getting to the rim more, but he's finishing when he is there. And that, alongside Jokic's mobility, makes those two-man actions almost impossible to stop. When you've got to stop Jokic, who can... The thing with Jokic is when you sag off of him now, he can really, really punish you, because he's just... Any angle you give him, he can attack it. And Murray fits into that too, because the more space he's got to work with, that helps him maybe overcome his lack of burst. So I think with Murray, yeah, I think a lot of what he does is sort of hinging on being able to be used off ball more as well. And yeah. I think that's where, obviously, I know this was one of the later questions, but for me, Jamal Murray being able to play off ball hinges into other players' developments. So a guy I would use as an example is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell didn't necessarily take a jump from last year to this year. The difference has been that Mike Conley is back after a poor season and he is running the offense, and that's giving Donovan Mitchell more opportunities to play off ball and to sort of stand in the corner and hit open threes. So that for me is what's going to make Murray more consistent, is the existence of another ball handler and another playmaker. So this is where it kind of gets complicated from a team building perspective, because I think Murray for me is what he is. I don't think he's going to develop another skill that takes him to the next level. I think it's going to be a kind of situational thing, because his shot profile is kind of the same every year. He likes his mid-range. He's quite good at it. He's a good shooter. He doesn't get enough opportunities to shoot for me. I'd like to see him taking more threes, but that's going to be insistent on development of another, not just ball handler, but a very good ball handler, someone who can run the offense.
And I think, that's a really good point, because obviously the Nuggets extended Monte Morris, gave him a contract, got the guy paid, which was great to see. We love Monte in Denver. He's a real fan favorite. And then obviously we signed Campazzo from Real Madrid, the EuroLeague. So we've got a lot of ball handlers on that team now. As you say, Will Barton's there, of course, who can also handle at the point when needed. A lot of fans, like I say, do want to see Jamal Murray play more off ball. And I think you've really nailed that point. My last point on Jamal Murray is what Nuggets fans always want to see. And I don't think there's many Nuggets fans who are going to be sitting there screaming from the hilltops, we want to see Murray in this year's All-Star game. But do you see an All-Star, do you see an All-Star spot in Jamal Murray's future?
It's a tough being a guard in the West because there's a lot of competition, but I don't think he's far off. I think MPJ's development is going to be key. I'm sure we'll talk about him soon. It's just about for me, just getting those opportunities to make your stats look a bit better, you know, and that's where the consistency will come into it. Because I think the argument that would be used against him, certainly for this year as well, you get 9 points one night and then 32 the next. But if someone's a bit more consistent, you kind of think, right, well, he's been excellent, you know, sort of. De'Aaron Fox is the example I'd use. He took his game to the next level this year. Part of that is that the Kings got Tyrese Haliburton, who enabled him to just not have to do absolutely everything. And I think for Jamal, I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that next ball handler, because Monte Morris is good. I think he's limited in terms of scoring. Whereas you look at the Conley, Mitchell Barron Conley has scored really well this season. So I think, you know, not to make this about the Jazz, but that's kind of what they should be aspiring towards. Sure. That's, I think, how these guards get in, is their scoring takes an uptick, but not just by taking more shots. It's taking higher quality shots as well. So I think that's obviously dependent on personnel and, you know, who you've got surrounding you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You make a very good point. So now brings us on to our next point, the dreaded defensive end, something that the Nuggets have over the years not particularly been known for. What have you thought of the defense this year? Have you seen a difference in the defense from last year? Because I didn't think the defense last year was, you know, to the eye, especially, you know, it seemed much better last year. But I think for me, it's because we had a few defensive players who were, that was their role. You know, Torrey Craig, Mason Plumlee, and Jeremy Grant to an extent. I mean, we used him, Jeremy Grant, for everything last year. But what have you seen from the defense this year as opposed to years past?
So I will say it's gotten better in the last couple of weeks. But I mean, early in the season, I covered a Mavericks Nuggets game, which I did a film thread on. And the thing that really worried me in that game is Doncic was just, I mean, obviously Doncic is an excellent player, but it wasn't particularly difficult for him because he would initiate a pick and roll. Jokic, obviously, they hedge him, which is where they bring him up ahead rather than keep him in the paint. And then what needs to be combined with the hedge is other guys covering from the wing to the paint. And all Doncic would do was trigger a pick and roll, do a little step back, and you'd see Will Barton or whoever was on the wing just close into the paint. And there you go, you've got a wide open three-point shooter, Tim Hardaway, Josh Richardson, Dorian Finney-Smith. So they were just really easy to play against. I think some of that is that they couldn't contain penetration from guards and wings. So that's, I think, where the Grant and Craig losses really hit them, is that they've just not, other than Harris, they've not got guys who I think can consistently keep scorers in front of them. So I think this is where kind of MPJ comes into it, is a lot of his role early in the season was staying in front of wings. that's not his game. He's just not got, there's a lot, he's got a lot of deficiencies on the defensive end, his instincts and the effort sometimes. But they've moved his role in the last couple of weeks where he's playing what's called the Millsap role, which is where when Jokic pushes up, he's the guy there to cover. Mm. Now, he's not as good as Millsap was in his prime, but what he's good at is there he can use his size and his length to really disrupt things because he's a freakish athlete. So that's been the main difference for me, is that they've moved him back and they've got more capable players defending the wings. And for me, actually, this development changes Denver's roster strategy, because I've always been thinking they need to find the heir to Paul Millsap. So I was looking at guys like Aaron Gordon. But now that you've got someone internally who maybe he's not there yet, but in terms of projecting his role, because he is going to be a top three player on this team for the foreseeable future. If you need to play him at the four defensively, then you need to change your roster to get him more wings in. You know, Torrey Craig hasn't done much in Milwaukee, but you're right in the sense that his job was to defend and he embraced that. And I just don't think they've really had the production from those wing positions this year. And we're seeing what Jeremy Grant is doing in Detroit. I mean, obviously, that's a big loss. I liked Jermichael Green as well. Not necessarily a wing, but it's sometimes as simple as when you lose good defensive players, it takes time to adjust and you have to move other guys around.
Yeah, and absolutely. And Jermichael Green came in, he can do a job, a different style of player to Jeremy Grant. But I mean, I tell you, when we lost Jeremy Grant and seeing that we'd signed Jermichael Green, it was a big sigh of relief. It was a huge sigh of relief because at least we had someone to kind of fill some form of role. And I think Jermichael Green's done a good job, you know, fell off a little bit from three towards, obviously just before his injury. And you bring me on to the next point beautifully there, because to the eye, it obviously seems like MPJ to us has been much more engaged defensively. And that is probably to do with the fact that he has slotted into that four. We haven't seen him too much at the four, but what we have seen, we've liked. You know, he's slotted in there really well. Obviously, that's because we don't have Millsap at the moment and we don't have Jermichael Green due to injury. My question to you is going to be, what sort of steps have you seen from MPJ in his defensive progression? And also on the back of that, what more does he have to do to develop his game to that next level where we all want to see it?
So on the defensive end, I think I'll be honest with you, in the last year, I've not seen, and there'll be people who disagree, I've not seen much improvement sort of on the surface. But I think naturally him being moved to a different position kind of naturally has made him look more comfortable, because he's not having to stay in front of wings. He's not having to match up. A lot of teams run three guard lineups. So if he's playing at the three, he's going to be matched up to a guard. And teams were switch hunting him. But at the four, it's harder to do that, especially with this scheme Denver plays. So I think now is where we can really see the developments, because if you don't put positions in players where they need to succeed, just as another random example, De'Aaron Fox last year, the Kings were having him shoot a lot of threes, and that's why it didn't look like he was developing, because that's not his game. He's a downhill guard. And on the contrary for MPJ, he's not a wing defensively. He might look like one, but you need to put him on the back end. So now is where I'll certainly be watching him closely to see the instincts grow. But that's his role. You know, that's his role. And whether the numbers are great or not, ultimately, he's going to look better there. So that's what Michael Malone needs to persist with in the short to medium term, because I'm not sure he's ever going to have the attributes to stay in front of those small three guards.
Yeah, you make some really interesting points there. And it brings me on again to my next point really well. So based on their style of play, we've talked about Jokic, we've talked about Murray, we've talked about Michael Porter Jr. Can you realistically see them becoming a bona fide big three, if you will, and being genuine contenders going forward in the future?
Yes, I think a lot needs to happen. The main thing I look at from that trio is I need MPJ's playmaking to develop, so Jamal can play off ball a little bit more, because MPJ's scoring, he's a three-level scorer. You know, a lot of guys who are kind of his size, they rely on the pull-up. He can get to the rim at will when he wants to. He's obviously better shooting the pull-up, which is why he got the KD comps when he sort of came into the league, but he can get to the rim as well. He's a three-level scorer, but he's only averaging one assist per game. Now, I don't know whether that's because Denver kind of use him as more of a, I don't want to say isolation, because that's not Michael Malone's philosophy, but do they give him enough chances to show off his playmaking reads? That's kind of going to be an interesting development. But if MPJ can become like a three or four assist per game guy, that frees up Jamal Murray, which is going to change the perception, because the efficiency is going to go through the roof. And it's going to make them, they're already an unpredictable offense because of what Jokic does to the opposition center. He pulls them out of the paint, which isn't where they want to be. It's called inverted offense. So I think that's the key for me. But obviously, I know that's a tough one to navigate because you've got Jokic in the prime of his career. So you want him, you want to contend. But MPJ is in the second year of his career. Malone has brought him along very slowly. So that kind of seems at odds to some. But I think that's what Denver fans have got to kind of accept, is that even though you've got the best center in the league who is in his prime, it's not to suggest he won't get better, but he's an MVP candidate. You can't really go better than that. But with MPJ, he is still coming along and there's work that needs doing on both sides of the ball. So I think it can. You know, MPJ is a rare scorer. You don't see guys with that three level. Most guys are two level scorers. So you'll either get people like Westbrook, who are mid-range and paint but can't really shoot threes, and you might get someone like, you know, D'Angelo Russell, who's a three-point and mid-range guy, but he hasn't got the burst to get to the rim. That three-level scoring is rare, and it's something that every team tries to find in the draft and often doesn't.
Yeah, I think some really, you know, big things need to happen as well. But the thing is, the Nuggets have a philosophy, and it started with the DNVR guys, and they said, you know, we don't skip steps. It's been our philosophy during the entire Michael Malone era, post Brian Shaw, that we don't skip steps. It's been very organic. It feels very organic the way that this team's been built. And I think now is the time. I mean, personally, I think now is the time that something kind of needs to happen in order to move to that next level, which is my next question to you. Is there a specific style of player? Is there anyone in the league that you can think of off the bat that you'd say, okay, if this move was to happen, and let's talk realistically, if this was to happen, it would elevate Denver to a point where they would absolutely have to be considered to be contenders up there with teams like the Lakers, teams like the Clippers, etc.
I think my answer to them to be a contender from one move is no, because I think the biggest thing for them is MPJ's development. I would target wings. The name I mentioned earlier was Aaron Gordon, because I think in terms of the athleticism combined with what Jokic can do, that would have been great. You know, him running alley-oops at the four position. He's a mismatch guy and he's not really been used right in Orlando. But him and MPJ is a funky fit because, as I said earlier, MPJ does struggle to stay in front of perimeter guys. So for me, you know, I don't know if it's a popular name, because whenever I bring this guy up, some people love him, some people hate him. I like Lonzo Ball in Denver. I think the cardinal sin that the Pelicans have made is they've acquired too many assets, which means they're going to lose one or two of them on the cheap. I like Josh Hart as well. But yeah, for me, Lonzo, I think he's in the 40s now for his threes. Mm. He's an elite defender. He's not just a good one, he's an elite one. You stick him with Gary Harris, and that, for me, is one of the best defensive duos in the NBA. They've got range, they've got instincts, they've got length. They can switch probably 1 through 4. That's the kind of guy I would target, but it's just whether, you know, cap space isn't, that's not really my thing. I don't know how the cap would work, but that's the kind of profile of player I would target. It's 3 and D, but obviously the difference with Lonzo, he brings a bit of playmaking as well. You know, he's an excellent passer, just quite limited as a scorer. He's not the quickest player with the most burst, but That for me is what the team's missing. It's guys who can stay in front of guards. And then obviously, you know, as I said, Jokic inverts the offense. He makes most centers very uncomfortable. Again, the only one I think who can probably go toe-to-toe with him over a 7-game series is, I know, Bam, possibly AD. But obviously with AD, it's made easier because he's got LeBron on his team who does everything else. So I think, honestly, it's not going to be the big move that maybe some expect or some would make on NBA 2K. It's going to be a more methodical move, and it's going to be on interior development, because MPJ, his ceiling is a top 10 player in this league, and that for me is what I would bank on. But I understand for fans, when you got so close last year, you don't want to go, oh, well, we'll take a step back this year and we'll go again in three. You want to hear, no, what are we going to do now to not just get back to where we were, but to actually beat the Lakers?
Yeah, that's the thing, because, you know, it's been a funny road, because, you know, we had so much fun in that bubble. And obviously, as you mentioned before, the bubble was just like nothing else. It was such a bizarre experience. It was just, you know, TJ Warren averaging 35 points a game. It's just, you know, bizarre. But obviously, you want to see the team build from here, and having, you know, this season go as it has so far, it's not particularly been as good as we wanted it to. But, you know, there's a whole other half of the season, and hopefully with some guys coming back, it can change for the better. Joe, it's been great to talk to you, my friend. Please, if you wouldn't mind, tell everyone where they can find you on socials, because I think you're a great follow and I think people would really enjoy your content.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's why I keep doing it, because people, you know, really enjoy what I got to offer. My Twitter at is Joe Holbert NBA, so that's HULBERT. I cover the Mavs and the Wolves mainly, but I do film threads on a lot, pretty much. I think I've done one on every team at some point this year. So I look at tactics and player development mainly.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, really enjoyable content, as I say. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to be able to pick your brain about our beloved Nuggets. And hopefully we'll catch up again soon and have you on the show. We usually got a bigger crowd than this one. And hopefully we can get you on with some of the other guys later on down the road.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Cheers, Joe.